Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you apply the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyday life. Hey, welcome back to Abound in Hope. I am Rex Gorman, and I am sitting here with...
Hey, I'm Tom Regan.
Tom Regan. It's just Rex and Tom doing their thing.
And?
I was going to say, we also have a very special guest. A very special guest. Who are you?
My name's Eric Engel. Thanks for having me.
Oh, totally. So we are in the middle of a series that we're calling The Word of Their Testimony. And the whole idea here is it comes from Revelation 12, where it says that the way that the evil one is overcome is by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and not loving their lives unto death. So there is power in talking about what the Lord has done in our lives and in the lives of others. And we just kind of want to showcase some stories. So we have Eric here today just to kind of talk about his story. Eric, where would, how long have you guys been around Imprint?
Let's see, we've been coming to Imprint, I think, almost 7 years now.
Been long timers.
It flew by. We were thinking about it just the other day. I mean, just like, yeah, we came because we were at Mars Hill previously, and then we started coming to Imprint, and then we didn't anticipate staying as long as we did. We knew some folks here, and so we've been here for 7 years and enjoy the community and the family. So
that's awesome, man. Awesome. Tell us about your family. Like who is y'all, I guess.
Yeah, so y'all would be, well, myself and my wife Lynn. Mm-hmm. And then we have two kids, Lucas and Vivian, 9 and 7.
Man. So, yeah, that's a blast.
That's also surprising how old they are now. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy to think about. So if you have 7, man, so you guys have a kid who's basically grown up around Imprint. That's crazy.
Yeah, Vivian was born, I think, right as we started coming. I think we were...
During one of the church services.
Yeah, exactly. It was really traumatic.
Right, Chiang delivered.
Yeah. Chiang delivered. Yeah, my wife is... Chiang is her brother, so we knew about Imprint. That's why we came here. We were looking kind of for a safe place to go that we could just kind of hide out and still be a part of a church, but not be, you know...
Not be...
And here you are at a table sharing your story with a microphone.
Now I'm here.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. Something happened somewhere along the way.
We pulled you out of hiding eventually.
That must be it. Eric, where would someone see you or Lynn around Imprint if they came around? What do you guys do around here?
I occasionally help out with the worship team, and then you'll see us here on Sundays. We try to come Sundays, and then my wife also helps out in the kids ministry. Mm-hmm. And so and then you'll see our kids running around in the annex on Sunday mornings too.
Yeah, well, we're really thankful for the Ingles, thankful to have you guys around. Let's just kind of start at the beginning, man. Where did you grow up?
Yeah, so I grew up in the Chicagoland area, a little town of Crystal Lake, about an hour and a half northwest of Chicago.
Oh, cool.
I lived my whole life in pretty much Crystal Lake area. Went to the University of Illinois, which is down in Champaign, mm-hmm. in southern Illinois, and then moved out here right after school. And so my wife and I met here. She's also an Illinois native from the Chicagoland.
No way.
Just about 45 minutes away, but we met out here while we were going to church, and so then we got married back in 2009. So now we're here.
Yeah. That's awesome. What was your faith background like growing up, and what did that look like?
So my parents we always went to church. Mm-hmm. They're Christians. And as long as I can remember, we were a part of a church. The first church I remember going to is in a town of Woodstock, Illinois, which is the Woodstock Bible Church. Woodstock's actually the town where they filmed Groundhog's Day, if you guys are familiar.
No way.
We were just talking about that.
Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday.
Whoa. Yeah, actually, we went for some of the filming. I saw Bill Murray while I was there as
that
a kid.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
But the church it's not right in that downtown area, but it was pretty close. But yeah, I remember that church. I remember growing up there for several years. It was, as
Is
far
that
as I
church
know,
building in the movie, too?
It was not the church building in the movie, no.
I don't know if there was one in the movie. I was just envisioning if they were driving around and if it was showed up in the background at all.
No, it was outside of the downtown area, which is where they did most of that movie.
Gotcha.
But the church, it was a good church. I remember doing Awanas there as a kid.
Yeah.
I remember my parents were happy and connected with the community there. There was a lot of good memories there. I was baptized there as a young kid. I think, you know, through Awanas and my parents, you know, kind of coaching me, kind of understood the basics of you know, the Christian faith, you know, salvation, Jesus and his work on the cross. And so I think early on I had faith in Jesus.
Yeah, totally.
But I didn't necessarily know what it meant to have really a relationship with him and what that looked like to really walk with him. That part was kind of missing, you know, it was kind of, we mostly did things at church, a little bit at home, but mostly just the church environment. So, eventually that church, split up. I think the senior pastor moved across country. There was a little bit of infighting and eventually the church split and we ended up moving somewhere else. And we were at another church for a while, but we ended up doing a lot of church hopping.
Okay.
And I remember a lot of jumping around from churches. We spent some time at a evangelical free church. We ended up going to Willow Creek for a number of years.
Willow Creek is a huge church for you guys that aren't listening, that we weren't familiar.
Yeah, you'll see a theme. We hit up a couple of megas along the way. So. but yeah, we were at Willow Creek, and I think once we started going to Willow Creek, you know, there was more separation between us and communities. We just could go to on Sundays to a giant church like that.
Yeah, kind of blended.
That's a giga church.
Yeah,
a giga church.
Yeah, it's not even mega. It's on the giga terra size. So.
Yeah. What was it like? And you know, you might not have a clean cut answer for this necessarily. What was it like for you, being young, kind of young in the faith? Watching a church split, what did that do for you, for your kind of view of the church? Because it sounds like you'd been in a stable place where there was a lot of good community and stuff, and then that all of a sudden went away.
Yeah, I don't think I really knew much about it at the time. You know, I don't think I knew any of the drama. I don't think my parents really shared that with me. I just knew we were switching from one place to another. I didn't really learn much about it until later on.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't, I don't know that impacted me as much. I think probably the bigger impact would have just been bouncing around, not having a real clear community, I guess, within the church that mm-hmm. we were a part of. We had a little bit when we moved from Woodstock to the Evangelical Free Church. We were in the youth group there and we did that. But I think through that time, which is kind of more my junior high age, I think I started realizing that I didn't know nearly as much as others did. You know, like I didn't like read the Bible on my own. Didn't really have a whole lot of conversations at home with like my parents and things like
that.
What
would you say was your conception of God at that point? If you could articulate the mind of a kid.
I think I still believed in the idea that, you know, salvation is not a thing of works, right? Mm-hmm. It's Jesus' work on the cross that, in our faith in him that is where the salvation comes from. So I think that piece of it I knew. I think I did have some thoughts around God as being like, I remember having fear that I wasn't good enough still.
Yeah.
You know, even though I didn't
connect that. That's a human condition.
Yeah. So I remember like, well, I don't know if I'm really saved, you know, that kind of a mindset when I was young. But I didn't really have any concept of what it meant to really have a relationship with God. This idea of like a personal relationship with God is still like completely foreign.
Yeah,
to me.
Yeah.
I think those are, just a couple of characteristics of that time in my life. And then especially as time went on, like through high school and into college, what I started realizing was that the churches that I was going to, I didn't feel like there was, the gospel was more and more watered down.
Okay.
There wasn't as much connection to some of the reasoning behind why we have the faith that we have.
Mm.
It was just kind of a, you know, it felt like blind faith a little mm-hmm. bit, I guess, in a lot of the conversations that I had with people. It's like, well, why do you believe the things that you believe? And started asking more of those questions, especially in college.
Right. Yeah.
The one thing that was really good about Willow Creek is there was a guy named Lee Strobel
who was
teaching, and that was the first time I'd ever heard like any sort of intellectual type of argument around the gospel and like history.
For those who are unfamiliar with Lee Strobel, he wrote The Case for Christ, which is a historical look at evidence for the reliability of the gospels, teaching of Jesus, the resurrection.
Yeah, so he was helpful for me because, I mean, his books were pretty high level, but he also referenced a number of authors that had more detailed books. So I went and checked out a lot of those books while I was in college and started to appreciate a little bit more for like apologetics mm-hmm. and those types of things, which,
So where did you go to college?
I went to University of Illinois.
Okay. Did you find your faith being challenged there?
Yeah.
Intellectually?
Intellectually, yes. Yeah. You know, like I went to a couple churches. I tried a couple churches while I was there. I eventually just stopped going, probably my junior and senior year. But yeah, I think at least, the first church, it was just, everything was just watered down. And there was a good community there, but I didn't feel like any intellectual aspect of what we were learning. And I went to another church. A guy on my dorm floor brought me along. That was probably the most weird experience. Basically, the pastor was just up there doing a stand-up routine each day,
yeah.
And just kind of making fun of the one guy in the front row and using him as his pawn to like do stand-up.
Yeah,
so that was that was a super awkward experience. I did that for a little bit.
You're like, somewhere Jesus should be in here, right?
You know? There was no mention of Jesus in any of the sermons world? And stuff.
Just personality based a bit.
Yeah, it was super weird. So. Yeah, I kind of gave up on the church thing for a while.
Oh man, yeah.
And then,
I mean, I could see that. Like, if you're not feeling one, like there's anyone answering any of your questions you have, and then also if all you're seeing is like someone, like you said, doing stand up front, basically.
Not really. You didn't feel a compelling reason to be there. That wasn't engaging your mind and your soul. It's just like, what's going on here?
It wasn't. And to be fair, like I also had resistance in my heart too, right? Like I was at a point where it's like I kind of wanted to do my own thing. I kind of wanted to. You know, pursue the things that I was, you know, interested in at that point in time. And so, you know, I was starting to lose a little bit of that, you know, desire, to really surrender my life to Jesus. And I didn't see a place where I would be doing that, you know, especially not in community.
Yeah.
So, so I spent, you know, a bit of time away, but I think the cool part is that, you know, like, you know, the Holy Spirit was still always there. Like I always had kind of this underpinning of like, I knew what was right. I knew what the gospel was. I just hadn't really found a place where I connected, I guess, with it.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
that didn't happen until I kind of moved out here to Washington. When I started working at Boeing, there was a guy in my group. And he started around the same time as I did. And I just noticed, you know, we'd go to lunch and he would pray before his lunch. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. This guy must be a Christian. So I'll ask him, you know, where he goes to church, find out a little bit more about it. So he was going to a church called Mars Hill down in Seattle.
What's that? No,
nobody's ever heard of Mars Hill, the local.
Especially lately.
Church.
Yeah.
So I started going there and I was still kind of resistant to it. Like I still wasn't really ready to make that commitment. But after the two things kind of happened simultaneously. One, the past, you know, Mark Driscoll, who was the pastor there, he took a much more intellectual approach to a lot of the sermons and things that he did.
Yeah.
Very linear kind of thinking and logical in the way that he addressed things. There was a lot of other problems there.
Yeah. But at least that aspect appealed to you.
That part was helpful to me because
I can see that because, you know, from what you've said before, you felt like that was missing from what you'd heard. But then, and then also I know in the early years of it, Driscoll kind of punched back against the whole mega church idea or like the whole like attractional church idea.
Yeah. Where, he was very, you know, like his contrasting to like a Willow Creek that was like super seeker sensitive. And
yeah,
he just thought that was gross, you know, and just like, there's this whole other way to think about it. And it appealed to a lot of the aspects that I liked to learn about, you know, apologetics and
are you an engineer?
I am.
Yeah.
So you like to know how things work.
I like linear thought process.
Yes,
you know,
there you go. There you go.
Bullet A, B, and C and that kind of thing. So
that's probably a lot of guys at Imprint, a lot of people
I think so.
At Imprint, a lot of Boeing and
we have a lot of engineer types sure.
Yeah, I kind of notice that, you know, that there's two different types of there's two different types of, you know, thinkers, right? There's the linear and the other is kind of like global thinkers in my mind where there's a central point and you kind of attack that point from different angles, right?
Yeah,
and
then totally.
Some people really resonate with one and some people really resonate with the other. I'm definitely more
linear
in that sense. So that really appealed. And then the other part that was great was there was a whole bunch of people just like me at the church. And really the community was the big part that drew me in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like a whole bunch of, you know, young single people, all transplants from other parts of the country. And we were all there together learning and growing together.
Yeah.
And so the community aspect was really a huge deal. So kind of connecting the gospel, the really solid gospel message, with the community was a big deal.
And then you also, you said you met Lynn there, is that right? Or was that before?
Lynn and I met there.
Yeah.
I was in a small group that happened to be just down the street from where she was living. And she knew the small group leaders and decided to come one night. And I happened to be wearing a shirt that had a town name on it that was right where she grew up. And so she's like, oh, you must be from where I grew up. And so that's how we connected. And that's when the magic happened.
Yeah. Sparks flew, emotions were high.
So there was that. And then the other thing that was kind of happening simultaneously was that I think for the first time I was really encouraged to actually just read the Bible for myself.
Yeah.
Like I had done a little bit in the past, but Mark was huge on reading the Bible, right? That was a big part of the message from Mars Hill. And so I started reading the Bible, and I hadn't really done much of that through junior high and high school. And, you know, so I started in the Gospels and then went through Acts, and then about halfway through Romans, the light kind of clicked, and I was like, oh.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. My life needs to completely change now. And so it just kind of happened, you know, over the course of combination, you know, reading apologetics, reading the Bible is the main thing. And then just kind of connecting that with strong gospel message with the community really helped kind of bring it all together for me. And then, you know, at that point, you know, started getting more engaged with the church, serving, reading the Bible, actively trying to grow and learn and, you know, build a relationship with Christ. So that's kind of when things changed for me.
Gotcha. Yeah. So it was in the middle of, basically, I know you said you kind of felt like you had a faith experience when you were younger, but then just kind of brick by brick later, and then it kind of catalyzed with scripture and with community.
Yeah.
Around
like
Mars Hill.
Yeah. I think, you know, when I heard Mark talking through his sermon, especially early on, it reinforced a lot of the things I sort of already knew that I believed, but didn't have words for it or didn't have context for it. And so, you know, like, I think it's kind of true when you hear the truth being spoken from the word, right? You kind of know, you know, the Holy Spirit kind of stirs inside. You kind of know, like, this is
there's a conviction.
Somebody's dropping a truth bomb.
Yeah,
here,
yeah,
right?
There's conviction there.
Yeah, conviction. Yeah. So that was really strong for me when I started going. I think he was teaching a sermon series on like on the crucifixion, and can't remember the name of the sermon series. They all had catchy names back then, but that's kind of when I joined. They were kind of at the end of their Genesis series, and then they were going into something on the crucifixion, I think.
Gotcha. Yeah. So how long were you guys at Mars Hill then?
Probably too long. we were there for a long time. I was there probably, it was on the, around 10 years.
Okay. Yeah.
I did some serving on Sundays, and then eventually we were into a small group. Lynn and I did some small group stuff together. We made it. You know, I was there for some of the early challenges that they had. I think there was a big issue in 2007 that they had with some pastors that they had fired. And then it got really bad kind of in the mid 2010s.
Yeah.
And yeah, we were in a position where we saw some red flags, you know, from time to time. They usually weren't all up in our face quite as much as like it when you hear some of the podcasts
there
now, they kind of lay it all out for you really quickly, but it's easy to spread that out over. Yeah.
Well, it's easy to look back and again, synthesize something and see it more, but
yeah. So there was definitely red flags, but at the same time, like the community was a big part of why we stayed for as long as we did, you know, cause we felt, you know, there's a whole bunch of people here at this church. We're praying for the church to, you know, kind of find its way back, right?
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, eventually that didn't happen. But Yeah, I think we had been holding out hope that there was going to be some redemption there, that the church was kind of going to get back on track. There's a whole bunch of people that were still kind of in the wake of all of the aftermath of things. And so for us staying there was really about the people more so than the actual church or the pastors or anything like that. But but eventually we got to the point where like we can't support this
can't
anymore.
Justify this. Yeah.
And so we ended up leaving, you know, probably a few months before the final implosion happened.
Yeah.
And that's how we ended up at Imprint, because Lynn's brother and sister-in-law were here. Jean and Chiang Wu were here, and we just knew it would be a safe place. We're like, we trust them. We know that the theology here will be solid. That the
but
church.
But tell us about like
solid.
Your thinking and emotions, like, yeah, coming out of that.
Totally.
Like, how do you process that with the Lord? Like coming over to a different church, you can't just like pop in and be like, oh, hey, here we are. Like, and you've lost all your people, all your community, everything that you guys had built over the last 10 years. So how do you process that?
It's been tough, you know, like people have been all over the spectrum, you know, like I think each person that you talk to coming out of Mars Hills got their own individual stories. So
yeah.
You have thousands of individual stories, but, I think for me, I tend to think of it as even in the midst of bad things going on, even with the church leadership, I think the Holy Spirit and the Lord are working still within the church body.
Right. Yeah.
So we saw a lot of that. I mean, my overall experience there was so much positive, right?
Right.
Like, I mean, I met my wife there. My first child was born there.
Right.
We made lots of really deep connections and friendships there. Grew a ton, you know, like my faith largely was formed there. Right. And so there's tons of people that got saved going there, right? So there's all this like really positive stuff. Yet that all happened in spite of all the garbage that had happened kind of behind the scenes and some of it in the limelight as well. But it's interesting to see how God can work through difficult circumstances.
Through such a mess.
So in terms of leaving, you know, it and kind of the post-processing of all that, I don't know that I've really fully come to any conclusions on
I mean,
know?
With a decade of your life there, it's you can't, you know, I don't think you're going to get 3 weeks into a new thing, or you know, at this point you're 7 years into a new thing and you're probably still unpacking.
I think, you know, we became, well, myself in particular, became more cautious, I guess, about jumping in and being, as we were pretty involved with the church, and so being able to jump back into that environment and like really fully get devoted to a church was pretty, pretty tough. I don't think we're even still back there yet. Mm-hmm. You know, I always kind of felt like we were kind of 1 foot in and 1 foot out for a long time. We weren't really all in.
Yeah.
I don't know that we're still completely all in either. Like, I think we're still, maybe we're just more reserved on it now. Mm-hmm. The good thing is, I think coming here is we feel a lot of trust for the leadership here, just in terms of the humility. And I mean, that's probably one of the biggest ones, is just the humility around the leadership of this church, is that, you know, people are clearly just seeking to do what the Lord wants. And that's made us feel a lot safer, I guess, is the main thing. That's part of why we wanted to come here in the first place, is we felt like it'd be a safe place to kind of recharge, heal. And, we had, you know, we had some positive experiences with the small groups and stuff like that. And, the messages here on Sunday are terrific, and we love the people here at the church. So it's been helpful. And that's why we've been here, I think, 7 years now.
Yeah. What is the, I know, you know, I don't want to harp on this too much, so you can feel free to ignore this, but what's the, I guess, I know you guys kind of had to go through a grieving process, probably, even though there was so much good that you were leaving, even though you knew it was an unhealthy situation, but you were leaving community. What was it like stepping into a church? Were you guys just thinking like, well, we need to find somewhere else quick, or were you just kind of like, well, let's be done for a minute and detox, or
I know a lot of people, when they left Mars Hill, that was it, they were done. I think for us, we knew that if if we didn't find a place immediately and jump in, that we could end up like that and not be in a church at all, right? We'd get too comfortable not going. And we knew it was important to be in community and be, you know, going to church, hearing the word, participating in worship, like all those things we knew were important, even if we didn't know the right place to do it. And so I guess we kind of chose the path of least resistance in that sense by coming to Imprint, right? Like we knew it was going to be safe, so we came. And and I think, you know, the kids have really enjoyed being here too. So like we didn't want to church hop. Like I had experience with church hopping, and that's not do that again. That's not great. And so,
well, just to affirm you, like it may have felt like a path of least resistance, but I think that's awesome that you guys chose to be connected, because it would have been so easy
just to disengage.
The path of absolute least resistance would have been, I'm just not going anywhere. Like I'm so burned by that, and a lot of people do that. They get burned in a church, and they're like, I don't want to expose myself to that kind of pain and danger anymore. So I'm just going to check out. So we're glad that you guys connected. But
absolutely,
I say we. Yeah, even though I think at times emotionally we don't feel as like we maybe did all of what you said. Because, you know, I think we still have been reserved and a little bit self-protective, I guess, in that sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But, well, I think there's a difference in you know, being protective, having learned a lesson, I guess, at Mars Hill. And I think the way of being completely protected, again, what Tom said would be just, we'll find some sermons we like on a podcast at home, or we just won't bother. Mm-hmm. But I do think that there's something to be said for, you know, kind of taking that brave step of, okay, well, we're going to step in and try to trust people again and try to be in community again and that kind of thing. So that's commendable. Like, I know it's, maybe you don't feel like it's been all in, or maybe you feel a little reserved, but that's seeing the aftermath of other people that have been at Mars Hill. That's a huge thing for you guys. So
yeah, I kind of think of you and Lynn. The word that comes to my mind is perseverance. You're like, I'm just going to persevere in this. What would you say, Eric, are the benefits of not disconnecting, but like trying to engage? Like, why be in a community? I mean, probably my assumption is most of the folks that are listening to this are probably Imprint folks, and they are connected. But I still think that it's good for us to hear, like, from you, why not just check into an online thing, listen to sermons online? Like, what is it about the embodied experience that's important to you?
I mean, and kind of going back to like Mars Hill was really big on community and their small groups, right? Mm-hmm. That was like one of the major strategies that they use to try to, you know, in a big church like that, how do you make people connected?
And
The small group was the way that you do that. And I think one thing that was really unique being at Mars Hill was just kind of the openness. Like there was sort of this, you kind of go into a small group knowing that the thought there is you're going to be kind of transparent and really open and honest about like your life and what's going on, mm-hmm. really share your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, that was really helpful because other people are going to be going through either the same thing that you are or something similar, or at least there will be commonality in the fact that people are dealing with struggles or joys or whatever it is. Right. And so just having other people that kind of understand you and be able to walk through those things there's not really a price that you can put on it. It's just invaluable. So to me, just having that connectedness is really important. The last couple of years have been challenging for that. So
why? No, I'm just kidding.
You know, I'm looking forward to a time where we can get back into
normal,
doing more regular meeting together and talking and discussing. So I think on that aspect, the community aspect is really important. And then of course, just coming on Sundays and just seeing the same faces week in and week out, spending a little time talking with people and finding out how they're doing is, I don't know. I'm probably more extroverted than most. So which is funny because I seem more reserved and quiet. But
you're actually social.
I actually enjoy being around people.
Yeah.
So it's always fun for me on Sundays just to kind of be able to be there and see people and say hi and find out what's going on with people.
You asked Eric the question, but I'll one of my small group leaders always talks about a time that we showed up for generosity group, and I told him after we came in, I said, I got to your front door and I didn't want to knock on it because I wanted to go home. Like, I just didn't want to be there. It had just been a long week, but I left, you know, filled up. So there is something
encouraged,
filled up and encouraged. There's something about showing up and sort of like quote unquote faking it even when you aren't feeling it, because God will meet you in in his people. There's that there's a Dietrich Bonhoeffer quote that we've said like a couple times. We haven't pulled it out in a while, but it's like the Christ in your brother is stronger than the Christ in you. Is that it?
Yeah, like you can feel totally weak in your faith, and then when you spend time with your brothers and sisters, there is some strength that gets imparted to you through the Holy Spirit, you know, using his people. And so there's a strength and encouragement that comes from being in person. I think, at least for me, man, March 2020 through whenever we started first gathering outside again, like that was just like a desert.
Man.
Yeah. Well, I just same word. I was saying a desert experience for my soul.
I remember doing, you know, we did streaming only just for something. We were like, okay, this is just a minute, so we can do this.
Yeah.
It ended up being longer than we wanted, obviously, but like we ended up doing just the streaming thing, and there was this feeling when we stopped the stream every week that was just like sinking and empty and awful.
Yeah, because we do the online gather services.
Yeah. And then it was like, okay, everybody go home.
And then we turn it would be like the end of the whatever, the closing of the online service, and then it would stop the stream, and then Rex would go, "Good job, everyone," and we turn the lights back on inside the house here, and then we'd all drive away. Yeah, it was kind of just gross.
Yeah, it was bad. But so there was something about embodied community. By the way, I coughed a minute ago. That's not COVID. I have a sparkling water in front of me, and it went down the wrong way.
Oh
so.
My gosh, I didn't even hear.
Okay,
didn't
good.
It, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Eric, what has the Lord been teaching you lately? I know you said that your journey has been, I think, more typical than most would think. Most people assume like, I don't know. When you hear testimony, most of the time you think about like, oh, well, this person was flying 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction and then had this life-changing experience where all at once they understood the grace of God perfectly. And, you know, now they're living this pious life. And I think more people have, like my story is similar, where it's like you have an experience of God's grace and then later you kind of grasp, oh, this is what that actually means. Have there been more moments like that for you since that moment back at Mars Hill where you were reading the Bible? Has there been more of that? What's the Lord been doing in your life lately?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, looking back, I can see where God has shown up in pretty significant ways, you know, dating all the way back to, you know, being a kid.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'd say, let's see. I don't know if I have a specific instance like that right now that's like super recent. I think the thing that I've been learning more about, I think probably the overall state of the church and how we deal with different social issues that have come up over the last couple of years. That's been probably the biggest eye-opening part to me. And learning more about how the Western Church sort of has a very specific view, even just in like the Reformed camps, has, I guess I'm starting to branch out a little bit more in terms of like taking other perspectives into account when I think about like how we approach Christian faith, not just, I'm not saying that I'm not Reformed, I'm still Reformed, but like.
You're allowed to not be Reformed, I'm throwing that out there.
But
so.
The
we're not going to stop the podcast.
Yeah, no.
Get this guy out of here.
Hit the red button.
Where's that cane?
Yeah. But just thinking about it more like cross-culturally, right? Like trying to learn a little bit more there. I'm certainly not an expert in it, but I'm seeing more and more now about why a lot of the way that the church is set up here in the U.S. comes from a very Western mindset, and trying to detangle that from
actual
some central gospel
faith,
like understanding, right? So just issues with race and how we deal with other minority groups within the country, right? Like the church doesn't have an amazing history of how we've responded at times. And so, I'd say right now I'm trying to learn a little bit more. You know, it's actually really fortunate that we're doing this practicum thing with, you know, biblical view of race and justice, right? Mm-hmm. Like, my wife, thankfully, is very attuned to these topics and has done a lot of research and reading and has pointed me to some really good books. So right now I'm reading, or I just finished a book. It's called How to Fight Racism. It's by Jamar Tisby. He's also the guy that wrote The Color of Compromise, which I haven't read that one. I'm a very slow reader, so I don't read much. I don't read real good. So I'm slow in that sense. But I did work through that book, and it was really helpful. He talks about what he calls the arc of racial justice. Arc being awareness, R being relationships, and then C being commitment.
Yeah.
And so the awareness is a big part for me, like just being aware of all the history of racism in the U.S. and just kind of learning what that has looked like and what the impacts of that are generationally, even to today. That's been pretty eye-opening to me to see that. I kind of knew for a long time that, like, you know, racism is a thing and we're dealing with it, but understanding kind of that history and longevity of the systemic aspects of it has been really eye-opening. And then pairing that with what we've seen
recently,
in the recent church response to that has been kind of all over the map. And so so I guess, what, you know, learning that my previous understanding of Christian faith from my very specific lens that I've grown up with doesn't really take into account a lot of other people's views and perspectives. And so just trying to broaden, I guess, more in that area.
I think that's huge, man. I think it's easy for, again, if you kind of stay within a bubble, it's easy to think of Christianity as sort of a Western American thing, and it's just not even close to that. So it is, it's important to understand that we do have a faith that is global, and that we might not think about things as clearly as we should.
Hopefully what it does too is produce God use it to produce humility in us.
Oh, totally.
Because, I mean, especially in my younger years as a Christian, you kind of think that the way you do it and the way you see it's like the right way. You know, like in church, entire churches can do that. Like if you get so accustomed to your own church tradition and you grew up, you're like, this is the way to do church. This is the way
exactly to
preach. This is, you know, and so like, I think I appreciate that word. When you say disentangle, it's like you're trying to detangle. What's the word? Detangle. Yeah. Like you're trying to figure out what is like raw biblical like truth.
What's mere Christianity.
Principle. Yeah. And what's been, and all, you know, Christianity can fit into any culture, and where Christianity collides with culture, then culture has to bow to Christianity. So not all cultural forms are, they're neither right nor wrong, so long as they don't, you know, contradict the actual scriptures.
The actual gospel. Right? Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think, I'm happy our church is trying to do some work or create some opportunities to do some work around that as well.
Like, have thoughtful, charitable conversations.
I do think a lot of, the time and sometimes the easier thing to do is the kind of put fingers in ears thing. It's like, well, let's not talk about anything that might be confrontational.
Or uncomfortable.
Or uncomfortable. Yeah, that's it, uncomfortable. Yeah. But I do think that there's stuff that the church has to be able to reckon with and answer questions about. And man, I think that you and Lynn know well, like the church can be a mess. I mean, you guys have seen that firsthand.
Yeah, and it's awesome that you haven't given up on
quote unquote
the church, you know.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
God is still here and God's still working working it out.
I'll ask you kind of maybe one more question, and I can edit this out if you're not comfortable answering this question. What would you say to someone right now who's frustrated with the way their church has handled something, or who's frustrated with, you know, maybe has been hurt by the church and is hesitant to get involved again, or doesn't want to get burned again. What would you say to basically yourself 7 years ago?
Ooh, that is a tough one. get your hand on the edit button.
The hard hitters. Yeah.
It kind of depends probably a little bit in terms if they're still in the situation at their church or if they're not. It's really hard if you're in the church and you're kind of disenfranchised with what's happening there. That's a hard one, because you want to be in a position where you're not causing division.
Yeah.
But not compromising too on core convictions. And so how to do that well?
Yeah, that's a hard one.
Man, I don't know.
what about someone who's had a bad church experience and is thinking, well, I'm just going to give up on this because this hurt really bad.
Yeah. I think, you know, again, I would encourage people to get involved. It's hard because I know firsthand of some folks, I have some pictures in my head of people that have bad experience after bad experience going to churches, right? You know, and it's like, how many of those do people handle before they're just kind of like, hey, I'm done, you know? Yeah, it was hard enough for me even just to make the effort to get here. And then within 2 weeks, I'm already like having another bad experience with the church, right? Like, that's really, really challenging for people to want to be able to do that again. So I think, again, trying to persevere. I mean, it's what we're supposed to be in community with other believers. I think that's what the Bible tells us. So trying to do that and finding safe places to do that is important. If you don't have good options around you, it makes it really hard. I'd say try to reach out to somebody that you trust and can help you maybe navigate a place that's safe and a place to go find that. I don't know. I don't know if I have any more than that. So that's a hard one.
That is a hard one, man. No, I hear you. I appreciate you sharing that though, man. It has been encouraging to watch you guys persevere. And again, I've only been here for 3 years, but having conversations with you and conversations with Lynn as well, it's been really encouraging to see you guys not sweeping hard stuff that's happened to you or hard experiences under the rug, but continuing to try to persevere and push in. So thanks for doing that hard work.
Yeah. No, glad to.
Tom, you got anything else, man?
I'm good. Thanks, Eric. Thanks for coming along and sharing your story with us. Super encouraging.
Yeah, it really is. I think it's several people's story. So thanks for.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate talking to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's it for this week. If you guys have any questions or if you want to share your story, feel free to reach out. podcast@imprintchurch.org. But we will see you next week. Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org. I just opened Adobe Illustrator instead of stopping the recording.